2 Timothy chapter 3, we want to look back at this thought about gaslighting, villain or victim, and also what would Jesus do or how would he deal with a narcissist? I was thinking, in fact, just a few minutes ago, the ones Jesus dealt with in the most harsh sense were the scribes and the Pharisees. If you examine them, they certainly had narcissistic tendencies and actions and attitudes. Now, were they, certainly they weren't all narcissists, there's no doubt about that. But I do know this, Jesus was very harsh toward them for many different reasons. May mention that sometime in the near future. Begin reading in verse 1. This know that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. We're seeing that nowadays. I haven't said anything about it, I don't guess, but the assassination of our brother Kirk and how people are so glad that he's gone and talk about him being wicked and vile and all. Here they are dressed like they aren't. You understand, I'll be careful in what I say. And they think it's okay, and they say that anybody who says anything against it is wicked and vile. It's a strange day we're living in. Verse 4, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. And he says, from such turn away. We're looking at gaslighting. We're looking at narcissism, or at least narcissistic tendencies. That personal disorder or personality or disorder, some of the symptoms are excessive self-centeredness, a need for admiration or attention, a lack of empathy, a need to manipulate or control, to use others, to never accept blame. That's just a few of the tendencies, the evidence, the symptoms of being a narcissistic person. That word gaslighting came and it's used everywhere now from the 1944 movie where a man's trying to manipulate his wife and make her think that she's gone crazy. He's trying to control her thoughts and thereby control her actions. And that's what a narcissistic person does. They need to be in control. And there's no doubt that there's a lack of love. We need to see that. We need to see that. We need to see that. We need to realize that what I'm talking about is not just someone who has tendencies that are not the best, but it is genuinely a lack of love, at least for others. Did you hear what I said? A lack of love for others. That includes the love for God. And that is sin. It is not to be taken lightly. In fact, I believe that maybe the worst sin, or at least one of the worst sins, is connected to this thought, which says, with an indication of a lack of love. Number one, for God. Number two, for others. And remember what Jesus said? They said, what's the greatest commandment? He said, really, there's two. He summarized the entire law. He said, first, love God. Second, love others. So if he said the whole law is based on loving him and loving others, to violate that is not to be taken lightly. This type of person wants their way all the time. Can I remind you? I'll say it again before I get done tonight, probably. We all have these tendencies. That's why it's so important that we listen to what I'm saying. And I hope we do not say, well, I'm not that bad, so I'm okay. Go ahead and tell them, preacher. But that's not what I'm saying tonight. I'm telling all of us. We have a tendency toward wanting our way. And hear me, We cannot have our way and God's way at the same time. We will have to decide, will we please Him or will we please self? I looked last time that there's a definition involved. I tried to express to us what narcissism is and the tendencies that's evident through this problem, this issue. I want to mention number two, not the definition, but the damage involved. Look in verse 2 and verse 3 of our text this evening. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Listen to the tendencies, the attitudes and actions of the people that Paul said, you just want to warn you, closer it gets to his coming, these things are going to happen. These kind of people will be more evident among you. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Those type of affections or love that just comes naturally, they'll not have them. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Notice these words that he uses to describe what I'm calling narcissism and what I apply to the narcissistic tendencies. He says some things that no doubt are damaging. The list that he describes deals with two things: their actions, the tendency of mankind at the last days will include these actions, these things they do. It mentions first actions. It mentions number two, attitude. Lovers of themselves more than God. That's an attitude as well as an action. These things not only are about what they do, but what they are, their thoughts, their attitude. And there's no doubt, you look at these symptoms or these descriptions of these people, and there is going to be damage with relationships. Someone who lives like this, acts like this, thinks like this, believes like this, there's going to be some damage between them and anyone they're connected to, especially family members, especially people at work that are there regularly, that you see on a regular basis. There's a damage involved. I say all that to say this: somebody's going to get hurt. Someone mistreating someone else like I'm talking about means they are going to hurt someone. Really, to be honest, whether villain, the one person who's guilty, or victim, the person who's connected with that person, both are going to be hurt. There's going to be some damage. And a part of the problem is this: if there's someone who has tendencies that naturally push someone away or hurt someone or damages a relationship, that's going to cause a big problem, because we all need others. God designed us that way. When Adam was by himself, God said, "It is not good for man to be alone." And he made him a helpmeet. He made him somebody. That certainly spoke specifically about Adam and Eve, but that speaks of mankind. We are born needing. First, we need God. Second, we need others. And that means not only do we need others, but others need us. There needs to be that connection, that relying on each other, that drawing from each other. And someone who has tendencies that literally push people away and are saying, "You help me, I don't need to help you," there's going to be damage in that relationship. There's going to be damage that people are going to have to deal with. And therefore, saying all that, we should not take it lightly. This is not something we should brush through in a hurry. It should matter to us. And since that's true, since somebody who acts like this can push people away, can harm people, can hurt people, and we need people, we need each other, we should look at ourselves and say, "Am I that way?" The statement that I have heard so many times, and I probably have said it myself, If I had a penny for every time I heard it, I would have a whole lot of pennies. We try to explain, well, that's just the way I am, as though that excuses us. Well, saying that's just the way I am should not be a justifiable excuse. It is not to God, and it should not be to us. I'm talking about the damage involved. There is damage between us and someone else. Number two, the damage. Number one, the definition. Number two, the damage. Number three, the danger involved. Look in verse 2 again. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. This is not something to sneeze at. It's not something to take lightly. It's not just something to say, well, they really are a selfish person, but that's okay. Everybody's selfish. No, 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 no. God said a part of their tendencies is described and explained with the word unholy. There's danger involved because their actions and their attitude are unholy. What they do and the way they think is unholy and displeasing to God. And here's the danger that angers God. That unholy action and that unholy attitude angers a holy God. Now, I've already said it hurts relationships and it hurts people. The damage, more important, it hurts God. That's danger. That means not only does it hurt Him and grieve Him when we act this way, do this way, let this part of our lives continue, but it not only hurts Him, it grieves Him, but it angers Him. And I believe that's part of the reason that we find in Romans 1:24 that God says He just turns them loose. He just lets them go. In Romans 1:24, it says, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts, their desire of their own hearts. He said, if you're going to live that way and refuse to acknowledge me, I will let you go. I will let you live the way you want to. I will let you do what you want to do. I will no longer speak to you, at least for a time. I will not speak to you. I will let you reap what you sow. You will suffer the consequences. I'm talking about danger. We cannot live as we want. We cannot think as we want when it's unholy and contrary to God's will and word and think we're going to get by. We will reap what we sow. There will be consequences, which means we who are prone, we who have these tendencies, and of course, the full-blown narcissists, they will hurt themselves. Because they are doing things and thinking things and saying things that's against God's will that are unholy, and God won't let it go. He will deal with them, speak to them, but there will come a time, and here's my point, a narcissist is so hard, so convinced they're right, so convinced others are wrong, that even God many times can't get through. So God will say, okay, go ahead. Go ahead. That is dangerous. That is scary. He will let us, and I'll use the word us, He will let this type of person make a mayhem of their lives. We'll let them ruin their relationships and wreck their lives and the lives of others. Now, we may could get by mistreating our loved ones, our spouse, our children, our grandchildren, our friends, our acquaintances. We won't, by the way, but we may get by treating them that way, but we won't get by if we treat God that way. It is dangerous. I say number four, the definition involved and the damage involved and the danger involved. I want to say number four, the difficulty involved. Look in verse 3. I'll use three words, without natural affection. That means the kind of affection that comes naturally. The love that a mama has for the child, a daddy has for the child has for the parents, a friend for a friend. Just natural affection. Just comes naturally. It's inbred in the heart of man, usually. Paul said when it gets closer to the Lord's coming, that type of affection will lessen. And there will be some who do not have that type of affection. They just don't care. That means what we see on the news, parents killing their own children. Remember the lady years ago that took the car and drove into the pond with her two children because she wanted a boyfriend that didn't want children. I'm telling you, that's beyond natural affection. There's something wrong with that person. And that's what Paul's talking about. So I'm saying this. The person who has these kind of tendencies, this kind of bondage of their thinking and actions, it's going to be difficult for them to turn loose. It's going to be difficult for them to get victory. Does that mean they can't? Oh, no, 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 no. There's a God who can do all things. But also, talking about the difficulty involved, I'll use two people. The villain, the one that's guilty. The victim, the one that's receiving the abuse, the neglect, the harshness. The one that's the struggling, the innocent party, if you want to use that word. Both the villain who's guilty will have a tough time, difficult time admitting, I am wrong. That is me. I need to change. It's my fault. I did wrong. I said wrong. I'm thinking wrong. It's me. Boy, it won't be easy. But also the person who is the victim, the one who receives, I'll use the word abuse, not just physical, but mental abuse, neglect, the harshness, the meanness, the words of the person who's receiving that from someone, it's going to be difficult for them to handle it rightly. So there's a difficulty on both the villain and the victim. It will be difficult. By the way, could I just say this? It's difficult for all of us to turn loose completely and let God control our lives, is it not? It is difficult for us to say, Lord, my life is yours from daylight to dark, getting up to going to bed every moment of the day. Listen to what I'm saying. Every moment of the day, you are in control. You lead me. You direct me. You tell me what to do. I will do it. You are in charge of my life. That ain't easy. I use the word again, difficult. But those who are narcissistic and the victims of the narcissistic person, there's a great difficulty in dealing with it, knowing how to handle it. No one wants something to control them other than themselves, even God. Nobody naturally wants that without natural affection. Nobody naturally says, oh, I am so glad, God, tell me what to do, and I'll do it. That's not in the fallen man's desire. Our fallen nature says, you do what you want to do, and we do it so often. So we cannot say we're submitted to God if we are still in control. I say it again. We cannot say we are submitted to God if we are still in control and we are still doing what we want to do. There's a difficulty in saying, God, take control of my life. I just said we cannot say we are submitted to God if we are in control. Now listen to this. We cannot say we are submitted to God if we let others control us. Now, that's what happens to the victim. They let someone else control them more than they should. That's difficult to handle. That is my point. The difficulty involved. I've said this to our children so much, they probably hear it in the sleep. Doing right is always right. doing wrong is always wrong, and just because somebody else does wrong, that does not give you the right to do wrong. It is difficult to always do the right thing. God, listen, God may be using them to change you. Now that's difficult to accept. God may be using them to show you some things you need to see about yourself. You know me. If you ever talk to me personally, if you listen to me from this pulpit, I will always say, well, they may be doing wrong, but look at your own selves. What does God want to show you through what you're experiencing? I always say that. And if you've talked to me, you've heard me say it many times, probably. God may be using them to touch your heart, to change you. So I make a little turn in my message / teaching. So far, I've only said definition and difficulty and no danger and damage. And I've talked about this problem. I want to take a little turn tonight, and it'll be a slight one, to start dealing with how do we handle it. I'm glad you can tell me about it a little bit, but I want to know how do I handle it. Well, the first thing I'll mention tonight, and it will be just a pecking at it. Hopefully next Sunday I'll start dealing with about how do we handle it in more detail. But right now I want to mention this. If you are the victim and there's someone in your life, spouse, friend, child, parent, co-worker, whatever, that you think, it sure does sound like them. Here's my first point to you. Don't depend on them improving. I feel like I almost need to hide behind the pulpit by saying that. You're saying, preacher, that we don't need to expect them to get better or do better or change. Yep. Don't depend. Now, did you hear the stress on that word that time? Don't count on, don't rely on, don't expect that they're going to get better. In other words, if they don't let that make you fall apart. Don't let that be an excuse for you to do wrong. Don't depend on them improving. Now, I say that, and I say this very quickly and just as loud. Pray for them. Expect God to move. Trust God to move. Trust God to touch them, to change them, to make them different. Not just for you, but for them and their walk with God. Expect by faith that God's going to move. Be burdened for them. Care about them. Care about them. Care about them. Pray for them earnestly. But don't let what they do, change or not, determine whether you're going to be happy, whether you're going to be content, whether you're going to live in peace. That's what I'm saying. Don't depend on them changing. Don't let what they do determine whether you're going to be able to keep living in peace. Don't let what they do control your thinking and your actions. Don't depend on them improving. Expect God to move. Pray that He will. Trust Him. Have faith. Sure, sure, sure. But what if they don't? What if they resist? What if they don't listen to God? And it may happen that way. Well, you keep trusting God. Don't let your victory depend on someone else or anyone else. Trust God. One thing for sure, their changing must come from God, and your peace must come from God. And your peace cannot rely on, oh, they're changing, they're getting better, they're not what they used to be. Don't depend on them improving. Your peace must come from God. Your contentment, your happiness, your joy must come from God. And if it comes from God, it won't be stolen. Oh, there'll be times you're burdened. There'll be times you question. There'll be times you're hurt. There'll be times, no doubt. But that peace inside, if your peace comes from God, it will not be taken away just because somebody does something to you or against you. It shouldn't be stolen because of something somebody is doing or isn't doing, no matter who that someone is. If I have to, let me flip the coin over. if you have to act a certain way before I'm going to be happy, I may not be happy very much because you may not act the way I want you to. And by the way, you may not act the right way. It may not be that I have too high of expectations and my bar is so high nobody can meet it, and therefore you're not doing what I want and I'm not happy. Listen, it may be low expectations. I may not be asking or expecting you to do too much, but if I have to rely on you treating me right or doing right to me too much to be happy, I'm not going to be happy. So therefore, let your joy and your peace and your contentment come from God and not from people. I'll say this and I'll be done. Only God can fix them. Underlining my pause, because listen to the next statement. Only God can fix you. Only God can fix them, but only God can fix you with what you're battling with. Now, you may be really the victim. You may really be innocent. And what you're facing, to be honest, isn't fair and isn't right. But handling it rightly matters to God. And only God can do that in the heart of a person who is suffering wrongly and hurting wrongly. I say this again, I'll throw it in. Jesus dealt more harshly with those who thought they were right more than anybody else. Those sinners who said, oh, I am so wretched, I am so vile, and they were, Jesus treated them very tenderly. But those who thought they were better than others, I'm telling you, he climbed down their throat. So maybe we'll whet your appetite about some things I'll say in the future in regard to that. I'll end with what I ended with last week. Psalm 139, verse 23, 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. David said, search me. Know my heart. Examine me deeply. Dig in deep. Not just my actions, but my attitude. Not just what I do, but what I think, how I feel. Try me, put me to the test, judge me, and know my thoughts. And if there's any wicked way in me, lead me the right way, get me right. Father, thank you. Oh God, help us to hear you. Lord, I just can't help but believe that you're trying to help us in a real way, in a unique way. Help us to be open, all of us to be open, to receive, to admit the things that you tell us and show us that hurt, that are not wrong, that doesn't please you. But Lord, give some grace to maybe endure what they're facing, but handle it rightly. Lord, may you help me to be biblical. I don't want to say anything that's not from you, that doesn't agree with this Bible. Oh God, please enlighten me, help me. In Jesus' name, amen.